Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good morning, Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hunt in for Zubin. J. Will back with us.
Yeah.
You good,
baby
Jay?
Number two.
I'm great, baby.
You all.
Krusty Burger.
You healed up.
The Krusty Burger. You mean mentally? No, I'm not healed up yet.
You'll never.
I don't even know what day it is anymore.
Come on, man.
I got no idea.
There's diapers
in the
on
trenches.
Diapers.
Yeah, too many diapers. Too much poop all the time.
Yeah.
It's kid life, but it's incredible.
It doesn't stop, man. Yeah. That's why you just might as well just keep having kids.
Stairs upstairs?
What? Yeah, you just keep going.
You have stairs? Upstairs,
yeah, downstairs? Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
You got gates and all that, huh?
Yeah, oh, got to go through it all.
The gates,
baby
all.
Gates. And
the house is never going to look like out of the catalog
anymore. And it's never
anymore.
Clean.
Just, no,
I'm
it's
OCD.
Not supposed to be.
It's never clean.
Well, you are just, of course it's never clean. We know about the dishes.
No, stop. Even that was a
dishes.
Question.
What do we know
no,
about
no,
well,
see,
hang
this?
Hang on a second. No, I'm new here. So what about dishes?
No, this is not accurate. This is not accurate.
Jason Williams posed a question to us one day on the show.
Right.
And Jason said that he talked about dishes being piled up in the sink overnight instead of washing his dishes as he...
I can't go to bed if the sink is filled
well,
with dishes. I can't
I
do
mean,
it.
This is not true.
You.
This is not true. I was
you
asking...
You just said...
I just said?
You just
or
said...
Or did I... Well, this is like several
your house
months
is
ago.
A, you just said your house is a mess. Did you not?
No, I say you can't keep the house clean when
which
I
is saying it's a mess. If you can't keep something clean, is that not saying it's a mess?
So, but tell me more about the dishes. This is what I need
his
to hear.
Dishes piled up, and he didn't clean them for a couple days or something.
Wow. No, that's not true. See, this is when
is that
Keyshawn
like a stare
is
down?
Lying.
I'm not
he's
doing
a liar.
Wait till your kids
he's
get older.
He's manufacturing stories.
Wait till your kids get older.
We
and become,
are in the United States. We do manufacture stories.
We do. We do that
this
for
is
a
what
living.
We do for
yes,
a living
we do
every
for
day.
A living, right?
But when your kids get older, it becomes that stare down. And I have my older kids, you know, there's always about who has chores and who has to do what. And then the sink piles up with stuff that's they come in and they just drop it. Like, oh, I'm done with this. I'll leave it here for someone else. And that's always my thing. Who's supposed to clean that up? Me?
Oh, no. Like, I do the dishes every night.
But again, your kids aren't older yet.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
no. Oh, my
so
son's going to be doing the dishes.
Right. That's
exactly.
I reached that point where I will then threaten that if I see it still there, it's going to end up on your bed.
Violence.
As is. No, no, no.
You said threaten.
Do you do the dishes at the house?
I do the dishes.
Because he cooks, though. He cooks the meals. He cooks the meals, though.
No, I'm going to say.
My wife cooks, so I clean.
I do the dishes that I use. You're going to do the dishes that you use.
That's how I feel.
Oh, really?
And if you don't do the dishes that you use, guess what? You won't be using dishes. That's
use paper plate.
No, you won't be eating because I'm not going to cook in a dirty kitchen, unlike you.
No.
So
I don't cook. My wife keeps the kitchen.
I'm not doing that. It has to be
very clean.
Clean.
You hear that,
pristine.
Nikki? You hear he's trying to disrespect you, Nikki?
Perfect.
You hear
well,
that?
Again, the
I'm
point,
not cooking.
The point is
but
that,
then chores. I go back to the chores. You
okay?
You said
yeah,
see,
everybody
I don't
has
even,
their own.
No, they already know. They. I don't even need to say that. They already know. No shoes at the edge of the steps. No shoes in the front foyer.
Yeah.
They already know all
well,
that.
That's house rules.
We're not doing
yeah, house
that.
Rules. Yeah,
yeah,
no
yeah
rules.
We already know.
But
you
everybody also has their job. Like it's garbage today. Okay, Zach, you take the garbage. All right, Gracie, take care of the plates and the dishes, and you know, fill the dishwasher and empty the dishwasher, whatever it is. And I will reach a point sometimes if that stuff is neglected, that there will be a garbage bag dripping with ooze and everything else on my son's bed. Oh, you forgot this.
Oh,
now it's on your
on
bed.
On your son's bed.
Now it's your problem.
Mm.
Right? You know what it's not my problem? Now it's your problem.
That's very aggressive. That's
now
over
your problem.
The top.
You know, you
I
want, feel
you
got like
some, I
got
need
some
to wake up
dishes on
your face.
No, I don't put it on him. I leave it on his bed. He comes home from school. He's like, oh, man.
It feels like I need to call child custody services.
Talk about yeah,
please
you know,
do.
That's that guy.
Please do.
I feel like I need to be that guy.
Please do.
Hello. I got a guy over
one
here in Long Island, New York. Tall guy, about 6'7". White guy, has a gray kind of, it's over, blue shirt. I just seen him arguing with his son in the driveway about a trash bag.
Yeah. If you could help me there, that'd be really appreciated. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So the Oscars last night ended in a weird way, didn't it? It was a little awkward, right? Because Chadwick Boseman was up for Best Actor.
You tell me about it.
A lot
it.
Of people and, still and, watching the Oscars. And like, I didn't even know it was on last night. I got to be honest.
It happens. All right,
did you know it was on last night?
I did know it was on because I saw the tease of it like earlier today. So
well, it's
I
also
like,
an ABC Disney vehicle. So
yes,
of
it's
we
great.
Were.
Right.
Oh,
it's the Oscars.
It was
what
wonderful.
It was
well,
wonderful.
You're not looking at me. I just had a second child. I have no idea what day it is. So
look, it was
I have a
great.
Built-in excuse.
What a great production.
It was yeah, incredible.
It was
anyway,
wonderful.
I missed that one.
So the build-up, though, throughout the show was for the late Chadwick Boseman and celebrating his life and his achievements as an actor. And the family was there, and you felt like he's probably going to win this thing. And then they save best actor for the very end. Usually it's the movie.
With picture. Best picture.
Yeah, best picture.
When did they push out best picture? Middle of the show or something?
No. It was towards the end, but it wasn't the end.
It wasn't the last
one. I mean, obviously I wasn't awake for it. We all had morning show to do here. But the point is that if you watch it back, it was – you know, Joaquin Phoenix, and he's, you know, it's always the Joker awkward personality that he's doing, mm-hmm. and he's reading it, and we're all just like thinking, all right, well, it's going to be Chadwick Boseman, it's going to be great. And it wasn't. It was Anthony Hopkins, and he wasn't there. So it sort of was like,
I didn't even know Anthony
he
Hopkins
wins
was still acting.
For the father.
Oh, yeah, he's still doing it.
he's not here. Goodbye. And
the last time you see an Anthony Hopkins movie, man, think about it. I know he's still acting.
You catch him, Clarice.
Yeah, I know he's still acting, but you know how that goes.
Yeah.
It's like,
legendary.
When was the last time we really sat down and watched
it? The Pope, was it The Pope? The movie, I think it's last time I saw him.
Yes, The Two Popes. Pope.
Yes. Six years ago.
Yeah. 6 years ago? I think it was like 2 years ago.
So anyways, the point is that it's just one of those awkward endings, weird endings, and we're asking everybody, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, is a sports-related, just the worst ending you can remember. It just didn't end the way it should have. I went, 2001 World Series, where it just felt like the Yankees, New York, needed a championship, didn't get it. Mo Rivera blows a save, which it just shouldn't have happened, and it did. So that's my ending. Keyshawn, you said your ending was the Super Bowl.
It's always Seattle. It's always Seattle.
Yeah.
It's Seattle.
The worst ending, Seattle Patriots.
It's the worst ending in the history of sports.
Right.
Period. Everything.
No Marshawn Lynch. Yeah.
Horse racing, you name it. The worst ever. Ever. It's not even close.
Ever. So, Jay?
Well, you had J.R. Smith in game one.
Oh.
We've talked about this so before, Key. We went down this dark rabbit hole before.
Yeah, but J.R. Smith,
LeBron's exasperated.
It's like, no, shoot it. Yeah, what do you shoot
game,
it?
But it's game one.
He's dribbling it out.
But
it's
still,
game
like,
one. It still was a big moment.
They could have stolen
one.
The game, though. Which
That's
they,
a huge
that
momentum.
That series, obviously,
no, I get it, but
there, right?
The okay. Super Bowl, come on, man. Yeah. How many millions watching
that? So we asked the callers, so let's get a couple here from the callers. Let's go with Raymond, I'm sorry, and I knew I'd screw it up, in Philadelphia. Raymond.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's happening, Ray?
What's cracking?
I think I would say the J.R. Smith one, but to me, it got to be Chris Webb with the bad five calling timeout
at
the end of the game.
Yeah. That was
cringeworthy. And he didn't have any timeouts left.
You felt so bad, right?
Especially when you hear
Raymond.
In the huddle beforehand, they had specified that there's no
so
timeouts
bad.
Left. Hey, but that goes back to what we were talking about before. I don't care what happens, and a lot of people can't empathize with this. When you're in a stadium and there's 40, 50,000 people, you get down to that gate, like, stuff just happens sometimes. That moment feels big.
It really does.
Man, it happens.
And it may not even necessarily be a timeout situation. Like in football, we time out, mm-hmm. go to the sideline, mm-hmm. everybody get together, and say, all we need to do is run out the clock. Don't jump.
Don't jump.
Don't
oh my God.
Jump.
Yes. Yep.
Whatever you do, oh and then we're on the offensive
those,
side of the ball.
Those are painful.
It's going to be no-brainer, freeze. So, no-brainer, we're going to freeze. It's very simple.
And you know you say it like 10 times, no-brainer, freeze.
100
times. No-brainer, freeze.
We've gone over situational football many times. Hey. So we get up to the line of scrimmage, the quarterback comes up, blue, 29.
Right, Key, before you even get there, there's always that one dude on your team like, oh, damn, you listening? Are you listening? Please listen.
No, we got him.
Please listen.
We got him. He's not even in the game. We're going to make sure
he's
out.
You took him out of the game.
But the quarterback gets up there. I got it. I got it. Everybody, yeah, I got it. I got it. I got it. Right, Allen? I got it. I got it. Get up there.
Totally understand.
No brainer freeze.
There's always that one guy.
Hut! This dude just jumped, man.
He's so nervous.
We just told you don't jump.
And everybody gives you that look like, dummy. Come on, man.
Oh, that's that slow
one
motion.
Job.
No. Yeah, it's going to happen.
No
brainer
freeze.
I feel bad for C-Webb, though, man. That was on that stage, man. That's
– Yeah, no, I know.
We're still talking about it.
We'll continue to talk about it and take the calls on this as well. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Time for some Straight Talk. Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Home run in the ninth, good. Tatis home run versus the Dodgers, good. No? Okay. Straight Talk offers – 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
Oh, God, here we go.
He's going to check out right now, but he should not. This is a conversation, Jay Will, that I think we need to have.
Yeah, we
these
we
are important
really
New York-based conversations that the whole nation needs to hear. And we'll do that with Andrew Yang joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Andrew Yang, a New York City mayoral candidate and also an entrepreneur, very successful, very smart man. Which is why, and welcome
understand.
To the show.
I do understand, Alan. Can I just
You jump
here?
Right. I just wanted to welcome him.
AY was my guy.
Hey, Zubin. How are you? Hey, Jay. Hey, Keyshawn.
No, I'm not doing the formal hellos, Andrew. I'm not doing it. You were supposed to be a Nets guy. You're on our team. And all of a sudden, the Knicks are doing good. And all of a sudden, I hear that you're saying you're all about the Knicks and you've forgotten about the Nets. Is this true? And if so, why? Because it's breaking my heart.
It's totally not true, Jay. I'm still a Nets fan. Right now, you got to say, as a New Yorker, the Knicks are a really pleasant comeback story. I mean, no one saw this coming unless you're the biggest Tom Thibodeau fan. Where you thought that they were going to win 9 games in a row. So I see the Knicks like an ex-girlfriend that you root for. You know what I mean? Like you wish her well. I was a hardcore Knicks fan through my entire childhood. Ewing, Starks, Oakley, Mason, the entire gang. But then they dumped Jeremy Lin, and James Dolan just became really hard to root for. You know, he banned Oakley, banned a fan. They had this very strange PR strategy. So eventually I left the Knicks. I found the Nets, and I've been a Nets fan, a pretty happy Nets fan ever since. The Nets ownership is tremendous. They're very philanthropic. But hey, you know, like I'm a New Yorker, and it's good for New York when the Knicks are doing well. So I'm someone who's like rooting for them to do well, even though I moved on.
Andrew, it just before Key goes, it's not Zubin, by the way. He's out. It's Alan Hahn. I'm in for Zubin. And there's
sorry about that.
That's
Alan,
all. No, it's all
bad.
Good. I just want to make sure you knew who you were talking to because it just there's so many things you just said there that if I was Han Solo, we'd be on for an hour to break down for you. Because there's some misconceptions you threw out there. Now, I was actually going to welcome you back, like the prodigal son, now that you've seen the light. But instead, no, okay, then you're staying on the Brooklyn side of things, which is fine. Which is
he's kind of on both sides.
Which is absolutely saying, well. I mean, politicians have to do that, don't they? Kind of play both sides of the aisle.
No,
understandable.
No,
understandable.
And
it's all good.
Andrew, let me ask you this though. People are going to be very critical of you, per se, who's jumping back and forth on the bandwagon. Now all of a sudden. You a Knicks guy. See, I'm from L.A. Either you a Laker or you a Clipper, man. It ain't going to be both. You can't be an Angel and a Dodger. So which one is it? Are you a Nets or a Knicks? Which one?
Uh-oh. I'm a Nets fan, Keyshawn. But I got to say, as a New Yorker, it's good for the town when the Knicks are playing well. And it's been a long time since, obviously, the Knicks have been playing well. I felt like it's been tremendous for my mental health and emotional well-being not being a Knicks fan over the last number of years. So, you know, like I think a lot of Knicks fans can relate to that. So I've moved on to the Nets. You know, they're different places as a team. The Nets are championship or bust. They're either going to win the title or, frankly, this season's not going to be considered a success. Whereas you have to say objectively, the Knicks season has already been a success because no one expected them to be here. And it looks like they're going to make the playoffs. But if the Nets play the Knicks in the playoffs, I'll be rooting for the Nets, and I have a feeling the Nets would win that matchup.
So it sounds like to me, whichever team goes to the championship, you win regardless is what you're trying to sell us.
Well, I'm saying as a New Yorker, like, of course, if the Knicks were somehow to win the title, I mean, you know, like you'd be thrilled because it'd be great for New York. There'd be so many happy, joyous New Yorkers. And I remember vividly, I attended the Garden during Larry Johnson's 4-point play. I remember the title runs in 94 and 99. I mean, those were some of the best times in New York. The city was jumping there. I mean, you know, we didn't get a parade, but there was like a near parade every night when the Knicks were winning those playoff games. So it's just good for the town. Hopefully it's going to be great for the town when the Nets go to the finals this year, which frankly, I think most of us expect. You know, like when you look at the next box scores, it's just how many of the big three played tonight. And then if two of them play, you probably win.
I mean, we've talked about this before, though, many a times, right? Like, even though the Nets have all the star power, when the Knicks are good, it just gives a different vibe or feel in the city. Andrew, you recently attended a soccer game at Yankee Stadium. How'd it feel to be back in the stands with fans, man?
It felt great. And I got to say, if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I haven't been to a game in a while, you should get some tickets because the games are back, you know, perfectly safe. If you've ever dreamt about being in a stadium and having a row mostly to yourself, this is your chance. Because I think the arenas are like, you know, 10-20% capacity still. So it's a great experience. I had a blast at the game this weekend. And sports are back. You know, let's go out and root for your team. It's a lot of fun.
Andrew Yang joining us right now, New York City mayor candidate. And I guess mostly now a Nets fan, or all in on the Nets is how you're putting it. A question, though, as you talked about, the Nets are a team that a lot of people think could win the championship. They are built to win a championship, and you mentioned parade. And in these times, I mean, isn't LeBron still waiting for his parade right in L.A.? Right, they haven't done any of that stuff yet.
Yeah,
it's hard to do that.
Right. We'll figure
if,
it out.
If you think the timetable would be the finals in late July, would there be a parade for the Nets if they win a championship this year, or is that something that you think would have to be held off?
It's a great question, Alan. I mean, parades are outdoors. Most people will be vaccinated by then. Right now, New York City, every site is walk-in. So if you're listening to this and you've been considering getting vaccinated, get vaccinated. Like, I got vaccinated. I got, you know, J&J, and feeling great. So I think by this summer, I think this is going to be the summer of love in New York City, because I think there's a lot of pent-up energy. But I think that we're going to be in position to celebrate outdoors. Certainly people are going to be just frankly hanging out in the park every day during the summer. And because parades are outdoors and most of us will be vaccinated, I think there's a really good chance it would take place.
So eventually, as the start of football season gets ready to go, the Giants and the Jets, we'll see somewhat full stadiums is what you're saying potentially.
I think there's a good shot at it, Keyshawn, particularly because if you look at a stadium environment, when I went to the Yankee Stadium, everyone produced a vaccination card. And so if you were to have full capacity in, or not, if not full, maybe closer to it, in an outdoor football stadium where everyone has been vaccinated and demonstrates it on the way in, I think you could have a lot of fans back in the stands by this fall. Mm.
Andrew, I just have one last question. That is, when you're trying to win, any race, and obviously for mayor, it's very important. Any concern, because I've seen backlash from Knicks fans, and it's obviously a larger percentage are Knicks fans. Any concern at all about, you know, these are voters, and I could be losing them based on that? Even a little bit.
Let me say, Alan, I've been a fan of your coverage since Newsday. You know, you're someone that fans turn to figure out what's going on. I think New Yorkers can sense when you're than anything else. So, you know, like I grew up a Knicks fan, but, you know, it became an abusive relationship. And then I moved on and became a Nets fan. And I think a lot of Knicks fans can relate to some version of that, you know, like, and I'm someone who does not mind at all rooting for a bad team. Like I rooted through the Mike Sweetney, Frank Williams, Eddie Curry, Jerome James, like you name it. I was there. But eventually it just got to a point where I was like, man, this team's like culture and ownership and management style is just not for me.
But that's changed. Like, because it's changed, like that, not even a little part of that with Leon Rose and Wes and Tibbs, that doesn't make you think to yourself, well, it's really changed now. Look at Julius Randle. Look at the way they're talking about
each
other.
Finally, it has changed. Yes, it has
chemistry.
Changed. Finally,
it's been right. Like, it's not making you say, it's not making you long to come back.
I like Tom Thibodeau. Well, you know, so let's imagine, like, the typical Knicks fan probably didn't full-on break up like I did. They've just been sad. And I'm sorry, Knicks fans. Like, it's been a tough time. And I think for those fans, this is a time of real joy and a reinvigoration of hope and optimism, because Leon Rose seems to have his act together, seems like a very competent manager. Tom Thibodeau, holy cow, that dude should be coach of the year.
Yep.
Julius Randle, one of the great success stories in the NBA, who none of us saw coming, frankly.
Right.
So you look at it like you got to be happy for them. Like I am happy for them. I'm not a hater. I think people know, you know, it's like, but for me, you know, like I do feel like I had such an attachment to Jeremy Lin, and you could probably see why. I mean, I'm like an Asian guy who likes to ball, and like you have like your guy light the league on fire, mm-hmm. and then we dump him for money. Well, like, this is the team that's given again Jerome Gaines $30 million, and we couldn't pay Jeremy Lin. Like, at that point,
but he wasn't
like,
dumped,
oh,
though.
Like,
he wasn't.
Get him, Andrew. Let him know where your heart is at, dog.
He wasn't dumped, though. He took a contract with a poison pill in it. With Houston,
that the Knicks could have matched like 7 days out of seven.
And that would have blown up their cap. That would have blown up their.
You guys are already blown up, Alan.
Up their cap,
blown up, Alan.
You know what though? I will
say
this:
yeah, they could have kept Jeremy Lin. Get him.
Jay Lin did actually. He's back now in the fold, and he's loved as always in the Garden. I actually did during the pandemic. We did a great sit down together, and we did a whole feature on him. So he certainly came back into the fold, and all is forgiven. And you know, like I said, Andrew, I'm not one of these people that says, well, you can't come back. You know, the bandwagon, all these fans that are coming back. I see this happen all the time on social media. I'm not one of them. So whenever you want to come home, the door stays open.
Alan, that is the right spirit and the right attitude. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate it. I'm happy for New York. I mean, as a long-suffering Knicks fan, I'm happy for everyone who's having a great season. And you know, may the Nets and Knicks go far in the playoffs, and if they meet, like, I'll be rooting for the Nets, and I have a feeling the Nets would come out on top.
I mean, it is incredible, though, hearing the Garden the other day and hearing MVP chants for Julius Randle. That's an amazing feeling. You haven't heard that in the Garden for so long.
It's been fun. And Andrew, and we got to run, but thank you so much for the time. We do appreciate it. Enjoy, obviously, the rest of the
season. Thanks, guys. Let's go to New York and go hit a game, everyone. It's a blast. Go support your favorite team.
Awesome. All right, thanks so much. Andrew Yang on the Goodyear Hotline. The one thing, though, at least I can say,
man, what type of mayor y'all got out
that
here,
we can
running, well, for, running, mayor. For, yeah, mayor. Running
well,
for mayor?
Well, the current mayor is a Red Sox.
No, I said
yeah, exactly.
Like, running, that's like, what the I'll tell you what. Is. I'll take running, a Nets fan running, over a Red Sox fan.
Yeah,
any day,
but come on.
All right?
Then y'all got a mayor who's a Red Sox fan. Then y'all got a mayor who's running a candidate who's running to become the mayor that can't pick and choose. So he just says it's good for New York. Like you're
but
a Knicks. If you're a Knicks fan, I would think you would stay a Knicks fan. If you're a Nets fan, you stay a Nets fan. You don't keep hopping over bridges.
Yeah, that's the bad look. Because I'll tell you, he's a really smart guy. He's very likable. I like him, but that's the one thing that gets you like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not happening.
You're going to jump
that
you
can't, Laker, you can't Laker. Acknowledge when a team does well in your
no,
city
you
that
can.
You're running
through. No, you can.
Yeah.
You can certainly acknowledge it.
Yeah.
But you are a lifelong Knicks fan as a kid growing up, then all of a sudden the Nets get good. And now you go, hey, I'm going to go. It's like Don King in the ring. Don King used to be in the ring. Somebody loses. You come over there and hang out with him. You're like, well, wait a minute. I thought he was promoting that guy. It's like, well, I'm over here with him now.
I'm promoting the guy who's winning.
I always say this to fans, like that New Edition song, Can You Stand the Rain,
yeah.
Right? Sunny days, everybody loves them.
Yeah.
Right? But as a fan, it's the hardest part. Because when you do have the sunny days, you went through the rain, so it feels better.
I didn't jump over the Lob City. I didn't jump over the Lob City when we were struggling.
Well, you could have. Okay, so that's that conversation. Colors we thank Andrew for that. All right, from the top recruit to number one pick, how Trevor Lawrence has handled it all. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM, Channel 80.
This Sports Illustrated cover story on Trevor Lawrence, it's out. The one quote that they promoted, I don't have this chip on my shoulder. I can't manufacture that.
If Justin Fields had said this kind of thing, what do you think we'd be talking about here this morning?
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America.
Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
All the questions, all the shouting, I'm part of it. Heading into the NFL draft, KJZ, ESPN Radio, Alan Hahn in for Zubin. And we are joined by Jeff Scott right now on the Goodyear Hotline, South Florida head coach and former Clemson offensive coordinator, so clearly on the topic of Trevor Lawrence. He's well-versed. So, Scott, first, Jeff, I should say, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Great to be with you.
So, can I ask you, what impressed you about how Trevor Lawrence came in as a freshman and handled all that pressure and ability to just step right in and win? And what does that tell you about what he can do as a rookie in the NFL?
Well, you know, number one, Trevor's just an incredible young man. I know you've heard that a lot, but he really is. I mean, just high character, high integrity. He's going to represent his team and community very, very well for many years. And then number two, just what you said, he's a winner. I mean, he started 4 years at high school, 3 years at Clemson. I think he went 86-4 in his last 7 years playing football. He's thrown for exactly 24,000 yards since his ninth grade year in high school. So, I mean, this guy is a winner. That's all he's done. And obviously his freshman year at Clemson, you know, leading us to a national championship, being the MVP. I mean, that's really all he knows. I mean, I think we knew as a ninth grader whenever he first came on our campus at Clemson. I mean, this guy walked in. He was about 6'5" back then, big hands and big feet. And we're like, man, this guy is going to be the first pick in the draft one day. I mean, that's literally the first thing that came to your mind when you met him as a ninth grader. But, you know, he has great toughness. Probably one of my favorite memories of Trevor was not the national championship year. It was not the game. It was actually the game before that in the CFP semifinal. We're playing Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl, and man, they were a physical defense. And I remember at one point in the game, he took this shot. We ran a zone read, and he took a shot, and it was like, wow, you know, he was down for about a half a second. He jumped back up, and we're like, all right, is he going to need to come out of the game? And he stayed in the game. Very next play, he has to stand in the pocket. He's got a free linebacker coming right at him. He delivers like this 42-yard perfect touchdown pass, gets hit again, jumps right back up, and is down there in the end zone. We're like, man, this is not your typical freshman, right? And we've had some really good quarterbacks there at Clemson. But, you know, this is really not a surprise for anybody that's been around Trevor over the last 7 years. This is really, really right on script of what we all thought would happen.
Jeff, how you doing?
What's up, Key?
I got to call secretaries and everything else nowadays to get a hold of you because you don't even return my calls.
I got a new number, kid. That was about 5 years ago.
I know.
What had happened was.
No, I figured you probably got a new number. I understand. I get it. Let me ask you this, though, Coach. Long time, obviously, talking to you. When you were recruiting Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, what went into the decision? Was it whoever accepted the scholarship first, or were you solely locked in on Trevor Lawrence, and if Justin Fields came along, then so be it?
Yeah, you know, honestly, we got on Trevor early, you know, really in his freshman year. It was actually between Trevor and another young man down in Jacksonville, Florida. And Justin didn't come on the scene on our radar really until the next year. Mm-hmm. And so we were, you know, we already had a year invested into Trevor, and we're feeling like we were making, you know, really good progress. And so Justin did come and throw at our camp and did very well. But You know, really the recruiting timeline was just a little bit further behind of where we were with Trevor. And, you know, I think for us, you know, it wasn't any reason to go past Trevor once we had really developed a relationship and got to know him and saw his performance. But yeah, there's no doubt when Justin Fields came to our camp and threw, we were like, all right, yeah, that's another one right there. He's going to be pretty special as well. So it's pretty awesome to watch both these young men excel the way they have the last few years.
How will Trevor's experience at Clemson, you know, carry over into the NFL with a first-time head coach and Urban Meyer and a new system unlike the one that he ran at Clemson over the last 3 years?
Yeah, you know, and obviously I heard the intro there and the story that Sports Illustrated made a lot of news in the last 2 weeks. But, you know, where that's coming from, and you've been around Coach Sweeney Key, you came over there and were around us. And, you know, Coach Sweeney's message to our players at Clemson has always been, hey, don't let football define you. You know, and he said it in a team meeting. I've been there before. Trevor, you're much more than a football player. You're not just this, you know, Greek guy that only has value as a football player. You need to be content in who you are as a person, as a young man who just happens to be a great football player. And I really think that's kind of what Trevor was trying to communicate in that interview and in that article. And obviously that kind of, you know, stood out as the quote they wanted to use there to create a little bit of news, which I understand. But I think ultimately, you know, Trevor, first of all, Trevor came from a very successful program out of high school, Cartersville High School. Joey King, his head coach, was an incredible coach and had a great culture there and really developed him and had lunch with him every day in the fall. You know, they'd sit there and talk ball. And then he comes to Clemson. And, you know, obviously I'm partial because I spent a lot of time there. But, you know, Coach Sweeney just does an excellent job of Clemson. I think the proof is in the pudding, if you will, with the guys that have gone on to the league and have had a lot of success. But he really has been grooming Trevor for this opportunity, more than just the football piece and the X's and O's, but just being able to handle the criticism that's coming. I mean, I've heard Coach Sweeney get on Trevor, you know, in a way that maybe most head coaches don't talk to their quarterbacks usually. But because of the trust and because of the relationship, you know, and because that's just how Coach Sweeney is. He doesn't have a filter behind the scenes. He's going to be honest with the players. And I think, you know, so Trevor does have some thick skin being around Clemson. What you see on Coach Sweeney publicly is not always what you see behind the scenes. He really challenges his guys and holds them accountable and demands their best. Yeah. Exactly. And so that's the program that Trevor's leaving. And I think that I think he'll do big things with Coach Meyer there in Jacksonville.
Jeff, I've been hearing incredible stuff about Trevor Lawrence. I mean, from the beginning, you know, how superstar he is, transcendent quarterback. What does he need to work on? If there was something that you said, hey, going into this season or going into years, like, what will be the key to Trevor Lawrence becoming or reaching his potential at the NFL level?
Well, I think it's a little bit of what Key just said a minute ago, right? It's going to be a different scheme for him. I mean, the scheme that we ran at Clemson was very similar to what he ran at Cartersville High School. So he's kind of been in one mode and one offensive scheme for the last 7 years, really his playing career. And this is going to be different for him, right? And things are going to be happening a little bit faster. I can remember whenever he got to Clemson and that first spring, you know, he had a big-time arm, but you know, he had to kind of figure out that secondary is a little bit faster than where you just came in high school. And sometimes guys that have arms like his, you know, they don't see a throw that they don't think they can't make, right? Every opening, they think they can put it there, and they have to learn to you know, not force things. And I think that's probably, for Trevor, that's going to be, you know, he's got the arm talent. He does have the very high football IQ. But I think it's going to be, you know, that transition, right? I mean, it's a very tough transition for anybody, a quarterback going from college to the NFL. But I think being able to see the different styles of defenses he's going to see and then really learning a new system is probably going to be the biggest challenge for him. But knowing the work ethic that I've seen from him through his time at Clemson, I have no doubt that he's going to dominate that.
Coach, we appreciate your time and your insight on this. Have a good day.
All right, appreciate it. Right, T, I'm going to send you my number.
No, I got it. Evan gave it to me. My producer gave it to me.
All right, there you go. All right, it's Jeff Scott. All right. Head coach, South Florida, and also Clemson offensive coordinator. Had some time with Trevor Lawrence. He was on the Goodyear hotline. All right, coming up, real or not real in a no-hitter? That's not a no-hitter. All that coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Coming up tomorrow on KJZ. KJZ. Devontae Smith, Heisman Trophy winner and projected first-round draft pick. Devontae Smith with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow morning at 9, 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Used to score, man. I was a scorer.
You see, Alan, I feel like you're very active, like a big showing on ball screens. Like you really hedge the ball screen. Like that's your player personality.
I had to become that eventually. The higher up you go, the more you realize that I ain't about this life, so I should try to just be useful. Right? I want to be good for business in some way or another.
Hey. You got to jump out of the screen. Ha!
So, yeah, like,
whoa.
Like
great effort. Great effort, Alan.
Like one level, right. That's when you realize that too, when you're like, oh, I got to start getting some floor burns or I'm not going to play.
I was like, hey guys, I'm open. But like, you're open for a reason, Alan. We love you.
You're so mean. That was a mean one.
It's accurate.
That was a mean one, though.
It is accurate. Look, there was at every level, there's certain levels where you like you feel like a scorer, then you go to the next level, and you're like, yeah, that's not
I'm
me
not a
at
scorer.
All.
Yeah, I'm not a scorer anymore.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, Alan Hahn, the non-scorer, in for Zubin.
His
we are presented
are
by
ready.
Progressive Insurance.
Strong legs.
His hands are always ready. He's always ready.
Strong right leg. Make sure you fire that quad, because when you punch, Alan's sitting there going.
Not even. See, that would mean I would have to be somewhere waiting for a pass instead of running around sitting screens like that guy at the Y every morning, you know? Like I'm that dude.
He's getting a good sweat.
Hey.
Getting a good sweat.
It was good cardio, and I didn't have to pay for college. So
yeah,
how'd that
it'd be
work
nice
to get
paid millions of dollars to get a good sweat.
How'd
That's
that
not
work
a bad
out
game?
For me? That is not bad at all. All right, so you guys ready to play? We'll play a game here. I'm going to step aside and let Evan take over. A little real or not real.
Big game or small game? Because Key likes the big games.
It's only big.
Well, it's me, so it's a small game.
Seven-inning no-hitter,
guys. Real or not real? Seven-inning no-hitter, real or not real?
It's real.
It's
real.
A no-hitter.
It's a real. No-hitter. Yeah. If he had two innings and it was over, it's a no-hitter, man. Stop. Baseball sucks.
I can't. This old guard in baseball needs to stop. Like it's a no hitter. Just let it be. Can we have some fun, please, in this sport?
I'm gonna just say this: is it an official game in the books?
Yes.
Then it's a no hitter. End of story. End of conversation. And if it's a rule, which I told you about, then rewrite the damn rule, because now we have seven inning doubleheaders.
Boom. Next small question, Evan.
The Dodgers Padres rivalry, real or not real?
Not real. Not real. How you gonna? I mean, it's not real. Okay, they went 3-1.
That's just arrogance.
We went 2-3.
It sounds like.
I mean, we went 2-1. They went 3-1.
All this wee stuff.
No, it's not.
He's pretty much on the team.
They're chasing us.
Where did you bat in the order?
Where'd you bat in the order? Six. Yeah, Dave moved me down. So I was six. Before I was in cleanup. Now he moved me to six.
D. Roberts moved you down?
Yeah.
They put you in for the guy who was actually hitting the ball, and then you ended up getting out, and that's why they lost. Yeah, I understand.
What would your baseball number be, Key?
Ooh. What would my number be? Probably three.
Why are you asking the same question?
No,
I'm thinking.
It's a stall tactic.
The buy time.
Sort of like what we're doing right now on Real or Not Real.
Three?
I would be three. They would get mad at me.
It's real because you could tell there's animosity. You could tell one is the little brother that's poking the bear, which is what you want, and it's the Dodgers who feel like this is our, you know, we own this division, and the Padres are saying, not so much. So that's real.
It's not real.
All right, we'll see.
We've lost games to teams just like this. And in the end, we get the trophy.
I haven't seen the same kind of fireworks after losing those games, though. That's all I'm saying. This feels like there's some animosity, and that creates a rivalry.
Get the Yankees and the Mets to start playing better and leave me alone.
Guys, that Dodgers-Padres comeback last night, that's the overnight delivery brought to you by USPS. Business is changing, and USPS is changing with it. Find out how at usps.com/newroots. The United States Postal Service, priority you. Steph Curry will make 100 threes this month. Real or not real?
He's at 85 and there's two games left. I mean, that's doable.
That's doable for him. Yeah, I'm going to call it.
Man, boy, he gets eight hotter each than game, Cayenne done.
Pepper. He been hot. You see what he was doing the other night against Sacramento?
Yeah, but
he's been doing it. But it's you have to guard him once he steps over half court. You have to designate somebody just to stay in his pocket.
CJ, I was
That's
talking.
A chuck. I don't care. That's a chuck. His feet weren't
even set.
Oh, yeah,
he chucks it. He don't care.
I was talking yesterday to some old heads out at the Gaucho site at the basketball, and we were talking about Steph in the shooting because, you know, obviously the little kids, they cross half court. Mm-hmm.
Everybody trying to do Steph now.
They throwing it from half
Coaches
court.
Coaches will tell you it's good for him but bad for the game, right?
We were having that conversation, and I was saying to myself, as I've always said, Chris Mulley, Reggie Miller, Mitch Richmond, some of these guys, had they done this stuff in their era, would they be able to hit these shots like Steph? Because it took Steph a long time to master this,
You
right?
don't think Larry Bird could have done that if that was acceptable?
I could throw Larry Bird in there. I just said Mitch.
Do you think Larry could have done it at this range and at this high of a clip?
Because of 6'9", because of his size and strength?
No, I'm talking about, pulling from half.
Yeah, because
dancing with –
you played hoops, though, Jay. All my thing is – that's not something that they
didn't even think of doing.
Yeah. They didn't practice.
This dude is a legendary one of a kind. Like he's coming off a ball screen from half court. Key, you're chasing him off the bump. You're on his neck.
It's too late.
And he's pulling up, leaning forward. He's changing geometry.
That's true.
Of the game. I don't know if
I see
Larry Bird doing
that. His confidence was allowing him to do it. I just don't think it was part of the game then, and guys stayed more in the lines back then. That's really old.
Slim Jim is like I call Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant got some crazy range, man. And he's 7 feet tall.
Oh, I hear you.
So
on that.
My whole thing is these other dudes that I'm talking about, them dudes is tall. They're not small like Steph. But if they actually did it in their heyday, could they be as efficient?
We can't put Reggie Miller on that list, though, because Reggie wasn't dancing with the ball like that. Every time I go, and I love Reggie. Reggie's one of the most prolific shooters. I'm like, all right, Reggie, put the ball on the ground. Let's go.
Even Ray, for instance.
College Ray was a nasty now. Ray could put the ball on the ground.
He can dunk on you, too.
Ray going to pull from half court and bottom of the net. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, but Steph is a wizard with the ball. He's top two handles.
Man, it don't even look real.
League.
It looks fake.
Him and Kyrie, top two handles.
You guys are just filibustering to not get to the last one, aren't you?
Go ahead.
What was the last one?
Concern for the Lakers, real or not real?
Real.
Concern for the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm concerned. Yeah, I am. I'm really starting to worry because I thought AD would be able to put us on his back for a couple games. Mm-mm. So we'll carry that over.
Oh, my. KJZ Mock Draft next with Mel Kiper Jr.
Yeah, he is.